You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning.
Hold the blinds and pretend that the time has changed.
All Marine Radio.
Keep our clothes on the floor.
Right on time, I might add. Yeah, boom. Take that. Joe gonna get his ass beat.
Welcome to my house.
Economy's evidently doing great, huh? How about that? Everybody loves that. So welcome on a Friday morning. I do think it's intellectually pretty interesting little event when people think that the only way that the nation works is through massive government intervention. I think it's an interesting kind of phenomenon to introduce people to, like, what actually did make America the nation it is, and that is its economy. Yeah, believe it or not, I know, for those of you that are young, believe it or not, federal programs did not make this country what it is. Yeah, That may stun you a little bit, but, yeah. At one point in our history, there were no federal programs. Think about that. There was no unemployment. There was no Social Security. And, yeah, it was you. It was you and your ability to work. Yeah, can you imagine, young people? That's crazy. Yeah, a lot of kids stop going to school at relatively young ages to go to work. What? Yeah, that's straight up insane. And guess what? That was straight up legal. You were 10, 11, 12. You were old enough to go work in a factory and help pull your weight, hand your wages over to your parents, get back to work tomorrow. That's right. And guess what? There were no child labor laws, and there was no work day. It was whatever they decided was best for their factory. That's what you were doing. Think about that. Now, that's a little bit excessive, and we had people like Theodore Roosevelt who enacted some pretty fundamental reforms in terms of child labor and the rights of laborers, and that gave boom to the great middle class in this country. That's right. Wasn't a federal program. Wasn't a state program. That's right. Just you worked your ass off. That's what built the nation. People working their ass off. That's what built the great middle class, right? Those reforms, America industry, America, this concept that, you know, you can innovate, you can do these things in America. Yeah. So I'm laying in bed, and this idea comes to me, okay? Why wouldn't the world generate an economic system that was designed to be an equal playing field, okay? So it's going to be equal, and by the way, the chef's going to be with us today, so excited about that. I'm going to make him take the pledge, too. He's going to take better care of himself. Yeah, in front of God and everybody, he's taking the pledge. So, why won't we have a system that says, okay, in our advanced economic world, if you're, this is a system that would be set up by, advanced countries, okay? Countries that are economically developed. And I will admit to you right at the start, it probably penalizes emerging nations because this is how the system works. It's designed to have, and what made me think of it was in the aftermath of the president meeting with, the head of trade of the EU or the top EU guy and saying, we're going to work these things out. We're going to work to have zero trades, zero government support for different programs. How about if we have a system that factors that in, right? And it's purely mathematical. There's no politics. Okay. So the most developed nations, the producers have to pay X percent on the average, all right? The producers have to pay the following costs. They have to pay additional costs for the environment. They have to pay additional costs for unemployment. They have to pay additional costs for, let's just say, crop insurance. Okay, we're talking farm now. Okay, so let's just say that there are those factors. And then on the other side, you have these subsidies that the government provides. Okay, so you kind of come up with a mathematical formula. Okay, if you want to sell into the United States, okay, and you don't have these things in your country, and they have to be quantified, okay, like we have unemployment, but in the United States they pay 0.1, we pay 0.03. Okay, so see what I'm saying? There's a balancing mathematical mechanism here. Okay, that says, okay, if you're otherwise, everything moves to the nation that has the cheapest labor. Is that what we want? To quote Barack Obama, it simply can't be a race to the bottom relative to wages. But that's how emerging nations emerge. They exploit their low wages. So that's why I say it penalizes them to a certain extent. Maybe to a great extent, if I was to be truthful. But in terms of getting and maybe have a separate set of rules for those that are emerging. I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought. I will give that some thought. But among developed nations, shouldn't there be able to be a mathematical system and say, well, look, you get this subsidy, you don't have an EPA, you don't pay unemployment insurance. So if you're going to sell into the United States, there's going to be, and it's not going to be, America is not going to levy a tax on you. the system does. Okay, because the system's interested in a level playing field. But that's not so easy to do. It's easy to say. It's not easy to do. Okay? So, isn't there a way to do that? Mathematically? Can't we quantify some of these things and say, oh, if you're going to sell steel in, right, to the United States, American steel companies have to pay this for unemployment. They have this kind of overhead relative to the EPA. They're prohibited from using these kind of materials that you can use. They have to use this grade of steel or this grade of ore because EPA overhead and stuff like that. So therefore, if you're going to sell in the United States and you don't have any of those costs, in order for us to make the field level, your product's going to be taxed at this rate. Level playing field. What do you think? Max empirical economic leveling model. Why don't we have that? I'm not sure. Otherwise, it is simply a race to the bottom relative to wages. And the only way a nation can retain industry over time as it develops is by putting up tariffs. Tariffs protect. And you could say, oh, it's a tax. Look, man, at some point, the United States ought to have a steel industry. That's good for national security. And that's no bullshit. And I know you want to get your soccer ball and your toilet paper for 50 cents cheaper and your Campbell soup for at least a nickel cheaper. But trust me, sometimes there's good reasons to pay extra money. So, yeah, that was rambling in my head this morning, or early in the morning. I don't know how these things come to me. I just have kind of these epiphany moments. So I thought that I would share that with you. There was one other experience that I've had recently. Oh, yeah. I never spoke about having lunch with one of my Lance Corporals. I haven't seen Lance Corporal Nick Ratliff since 1985, I think. Probably last time I saw him. I got to 1st Battalion, 5th Marines in September, and I think I left, in early September of 1984, and I left, like, I think right after the holidays in 1986. So I was there for about a year and a half before I went to 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, that had just stood up. It was embryonic in nature. Anyway, hoping that I could stay in my MOS if I got augmented into the regular Marine Corps. So anyway, I've hooked up with some of my Marines via Facebook. So he and his family were in Southern California, actually in Orange County. So we had lunch. So I see him. First thing he says is, did you get taller? I'm like, really? No, dog. I've always been this tall. But it was awesome. He's a battalion chief, fire chief in Las Vegas. So awesome lunch with a Marine I hadn't seen in 33 years coming up on? Yeah, holy shit. So the wonders of Facebook that's going in the tank as we speak. Sorry, bro. Hang with them. I know you got $118 billion of your wealth wiped out, but you'll figure it out. You'll find a way. Yeah, Facebook. And now Twitter's in the tank. You want to know why? Because they're finally being forced, and tends to be the way that emerging industries get treated. Okay. And that is they emerge, and you have all kinds of growth and explosions, and they're doing great, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And then people start looking at them as they get big, and they say, yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And Facebook went through that here recently when Zuckerberg had to testify, because they provided the platform for a lot of Russian meddling, not only in the United States, but in other countries as well. So how do they intend to, and again, this whole, you know, fake accounts and, you know, and bots and this and that. So how do they intend to rein that in? And guess what happened? Facebook's expenses rose by 50% over the course of the last 12 months. Why? Because they've had to hire people. They've had to do things that cost them money. And, oh, by the way, once you start weeding out the fake accounts, guess what? Growth isn't so robust. That's called a paper lion. Okay? And Twitter, yeah, Twitter's a little bit interesting as well. We talked about the scourge of social media on the planet. Well, it turns out, you know, much of it is fake. Yeah, much of those subscribers, I want to say I read a story last week that said Barack Obama lost 3 million Twitter followers as Twitter began to simply began tweaking accounts that were blatantly false. Yeah. So that's without Twitter applying too much scrutiny, just enough to get by. And it has big impact for their growth forecast, right? Because it's about advertising dollars and, you know, blah 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 blah. And so when the platform is shrinking, and I don't know that the platforms are shrinking, I just don't know that they've ever grown at the rate they've claimed to grow at because there's so many false accounts in there. So it's regulation, catching up, a little bit of truth serum, getting your pants pulled down in public, all of that rolled into Facebook and Twitter. Poor Zuckerberg. He lost, what did I see? The last number I saw was he had lost $118 billion. And you think you had a rough week. So he comes in the house, and what's his wife say? Really? Really? This is how? So I married you, and now what are we going to be doing? Back running a parking lot in, you know, in Dover, Delaware, or some kind of craziness? Headline. Twitter shares dropped 14% after reporting declining monthly active users. Okay, so you can tell fake users, right? You can tell the activity for real users is different. They search, they comment, right? Right. When a user simply retweets what another user says, okay, those are all automated accounts. All right. Earnings per share. 17 cents versus 17 cents, according to Thomson Reuters' consensus estimate. Revenue, $711 million versus $696 million, according to Thomson Reuters' consensus estimate. Monthly active users, which is the big number, right? $335 million versus $338.5 million, according to Street Account and FactSet estimates. Twitter shares opened down 14% Friday after the company reported a decline in monthly active users and weak guidance. Twitter reported second quarter earnings before the bell on Friday. Earnings per share 17 cents versus a forecast of 17 cents. Revenue $711 million versus $696 million, so they beat the revenue estimate. Monthly users down by about 3.5 million. Shares were dropped as much as 18% in pre-market trading when the report was released. The company issued weak guidance as well with adjusted numbers, blah, blah, blah. It's talking technical numbers. For the last quarter, Twitter reported 336 million monthly active users. The platform blamed not moving to paid SMS carrier relationships in certain markets where users have better access to Twitter or Twitter. Or Twitter Lite, making changes to improve the health of the platform and some impact, blah, 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 blah. Twitter removed about 70 million accounts in May and June, but Twitter Chief Financial Officer Ned Segal said most of those were not included in its reported metrics because they were not active on the platform for more than 30 days. The company also recently purged fake accounts, but those changes occurred after the close of the second quarter, so it didn't affect this month's active user number. Twitter warned, this is buried in the article, this is awesome, Twitter warned that active user numbers could go down even more next quarter. And their statement says this, as a result of our health work, that means we're getting rid of the fake shit that we've been pumping up our stock price with, decisions not to renew or move to paid SMS carrier relationships in certain markets, i.e. Europe, and our decision to allocate resources towards our health, monthly active users could decline on a sequential base in quarter three. That's a very fancy way saying, get ready, folks, our number's going down. All right, so that's interesting. Interesting, but yeah. So there you have it. And then relative to a little bit of history in the stock market, Facebook's $100 billion-plus route is the biggest loss in stock market history. Facebook on Thursday posted the largest one-day loss in market value by any company in U.S. stock market history after releasing a disastrous quarterly report. The social media giant's market capitalization plummeted by $119 billion to $510 billion as its stock price plummeted by 19%. At Wednesday's close, Facebook's market cap had totaled nearly $630 billion, according to FactSet. No company in the history of the U.S. stock market has ever lost $100 billion in market value in just one day, but two of them came close. They're all tech companies, too. If you look at the largest cap losses, all right, so the largest declines in stock value in a single day, Facebook, $119 billion. Intel of September of 2000, $91 billion. Okay, so that would be close. I wonder, obviously these are adjusted, okay, so they're all consistent numbers. Microsoft in April of 2003 lost $80 billion in a day. After that, Apple in January of 2013 lost $60 billion in a day. Next, in 2008, ExxonMobil lost $52 billion in a day. GE in 2008 lost $47 billion in a day. Alphabet, which is Google, earlier this year, that's right, February of 2018, lost $41 billion in a day. Bank of America, back when they were having issues, they lost $40 billion in a day. Amazon lost $36 billion. Wells Fargo, recently, when they reported their shenanigans, they lost $29 billion in a day. So, there you have it. Facebook making stock market history. Pretty interesting. So, we'll see what happens in the future as governments look at companies like Facebook, Twitter, and say, yeah, you guys need to rein in your act. You know, this is this is a free country, but you promote things that fundamentally get exploited by people. We want to know how you're going to deal with that, and we want to provide some safeguards in there for consumers. You know what that means? It all costs them money. But again, so here's the bottom line. Facebook loses $120. They're still valued at $510 billion. Okay, so before you pick up the crying towel for the Zuckerberg family and start a GoFundMe page, dial it back. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes, but probably the it's with great it's pretty solemn when after how many years? So let's say from 1953 to 2018, so 65 years. So for between 65 and 68 years, there's been families that lost loved ones on the Korean Peninsula that have never had any place to visit, never had a body to mourn, a funeral to go to. So at least a little bit of that is happening as we speak. So again, what will happen with North Korea, God only knows. But at least this is a small step, all right? And I think the only way you begin to deal with that big issue is you begin to deal with some of the smaller issues, and you learn to work together, and you learn, I don't know if trust is the right word, through working together, you develop a relationship, and then maybe you can tackle bigger issues. So that happening. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. So Gunnar's going to join us. The chef's going to join us. He's going to take the pledge. We'll check the news here in a few minutes. So good morning to you. Yeah, as I said, back off on the GoFundMe page for the Zuckerberg family. I think they're going to be okay. So Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on Friday, as is appropriate. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the Marines and soldiers that fought on the Korean Peninsula, some of which their remains have been returned to American soil, and this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vest on me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars. You know, if a host has like bumper music like that, shit is tight. That's right. Currently, partly cloudy in 81 in Quantico, Virginia. Raining and cloudy at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Clouds in 87 in Granbury, Texas. Big Timber, Montana. Sun in 61. Sunny in 87 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 68. So everything returning back to normal across the country. Okinawa, dark. Cloudy and 83, so ops normal there. Helmand Province is cooled off, 100 degrees late in the day in Afghanistan. Costa Mesa reports 71 degrees. under partly cloudy skies. Looking for a high today of 82. We'll take it. Keep it right there. We don't need anything else. Actually, it was kind of nice last night. I took Dash 2 to the airport. You got to go see his girl. So, but a little bit of ocean air on the way home. Nice. Yeah, Los Angeles International Airport. Yikes. If you know how to get it. Now, here's what I would tell you. If you want some advice at busy airports, the congested, right, the more congested lane, don't take. It doesn't matter. If it's arrivals, take the departure lane. Okay? If it's departures, take the arrival lane. Okay? Don't play that game. Oh, they're departing. Because all they got to do is take the elevator up a floor or down a floor. Yeah, think about it. Okay? So, just want to give you a little bit of travel advice from Mac's traveling service here on All Marine Radio. One other little piece of advice. I want All Marine Radio to be an exporter of love. Okay, maybe not love. I want All Marine Radio to be an exporter of trauma, of how to cope with trauma. Because we know a lot about trauma. So, I want you, the faithful, to look, post-traumatic stress is most limited. Wait a minute, how do I say this? The military does not have a monopoly on post-traumatic stress. There's a lot of people that suffer from it. Okay? So your community needs you. You can help other people deal with their shit. Okay? And it's serious shit. So get out there and help people. Okay? You know the basics. One, you're not getting over it. Okay? So whoever told you that was bullshit. Two, be gentle with yourself. Three, stop drinking. Okay? Maybe years down the road, you might be able to become a social drinker. But while you're wrestling with this gorilla, and again, remember, Jeremiah Workman is being somewhat humorous here.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Okay, so while he's essentially correct, right? Monkeys, probably not. Gorillas, yes. Okay, what kind of gorillas? Like King Kong kind of gorillas. Okay, except they're on crack. All right, and they've taken steroids. And you let them some bitches out on a regular basis? And you don't think you're going to jack your life up and set yourself back? Okay, alcohol does not mix with post-traumatic stress. So what I just want to encourage you to do is share the universal truths that we all know. And there's no reason why that which you experience can't affect you in a way that leads to growth. Okay? You simply have to learn how to coexist with it, and then begin to make a difference in other people's lives. And I honestly believe that, you know, that once somebody helps somebody else, that is the single most important thing that happens to them in all of their dealings with post-traumatic stress. Once you help somebody else, I think you're on your way to learning how to coexist with it, because there's now your pain is helping other people. And so it makes it easier to coexist with the pain. Okay. But again, alcohol unleashes the beast. Okay. Alcohol is the cipher code for the lock on the cage that has the gorillas in it that are on steroids and crack at the same time. Do you want gorillas on steroids, using crack, running around, marauding around in your brain? Do you want that? Do you? Yeah, I don't think you do. In fact, I'm going to tell you, you fucking don't. Okay? So, my goal in saying all this is Allmarine Radio is going to be an exporter. Not just here for our tribe. Our tribe is an exporter. Our tribe by nature is motivated by things beyond themselves. It's why they serve. It's called the purpose-driven life. So part of the purpose that you'll find in your life is putting your hand out and helping other people. Yeah, and it's like saying unmarine stuff like, be gentle with yourself. Wait, I don't even like that coming out of my mouth. Right? Somebody's going to say, Mac, hush your mouth. Don't be saying that stuff. But you want to know something? It's the truth. And here, we're moderately enamored with the truth. I know, it's a crazy concept. The truth. Yikes. Okay? So yeah, be an exporter. Help people. And again, trauma, it's all around you. All you got to look. Some kids, some adults. Okay? And just spread the gospel. Help people. And again, it may not stop them that day. A lot of times you're just seed planting. So don't be afraid to be a seed planter. Johnny Appleseed. Don't be afraid to be St. Paul the Apostle. Wandering the Mediterranean. Spreading the word. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of Allmarine Radio on a Friday. The chef rejoins us. He's taking a pledge. Coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music.
We're going to talk about Shrimp Fra Diavolo today. I guess that's how you say it. Shrimp Fra Diavolo. For a dish that didn't remind us of rubbery seafood and marinara sauce, we started by getting the shrimp's briny flavor to come out of its shell. You know, that is some true shit right there. So, if, by chance, you're near the website right now, if you flip over to the read board, you ought to see it. If you click on it, you'll see what Miss B sent me. A couple pages out of Cook's Illustrated, her favorite. So, we'll talk about today, after we get an update from the chef himself. All right, time to check the news this morning. Yeah, exporter. I like that. I like that we're an exporter of post-traumatic growth philosophy. Marshall Mathers. All right, here's a story about what's going on. Relative to remains. The remains of multiple U.S. troops killed in the Korean War more than six decades ago are headed back to America now after North Korean officials turned them over to military officials. The move comes on the 65th anniversary of the armistice that ended hostilities in the conflict and about 6 weeks after the summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Military officials said the remains were loaded onto an Air Force C-17 at an air base in Wonsan, North Korea, and taken to Osan Air Base in South Korea. Service members from the United States Command Korea and technical experts from the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency were on hand for the event. The United Nations Command Officials, which is the flag under the overarching flag under which the United States Army, the Marine Corps, and United States Forces fought, confirmed that 55 cases of remains were turned over by the North Koreans. A formal repatriation ceremony will be held on August 1st with plans to return the remains to Hawaii after that for further analysis. So, early next week. The United States owes a profound debt of gratitude to those American service members who gave their lives in service to their country, and we are working diligently to bring them home, a White House statement said. So we'll see. Now the next step is, are these American remains? To validate that, and hopefully through the use of DNA and whatever identifies them, dental records or whatnot, they can be identified and then in turn brought home, and then, all of us, around the nation, I think keep an eye out for it and then make sure, to the extent that you can, that you participate in anything that honors them. So, and again, what does this mean for denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula? I don't know. But it's one of the intermediate steps that was discussed. And so I think you have to say that it's... at least that's a step in the right direction. Next headline. You've lost that loving feeling. Marriage and family hampered by military life, survey results say. I think we all know that. A plethora of viral homecoming videos adored by millions of Americans paint a romanticized picture of what family life is like for military personnel. But surprise, romance is dead. All right, maybe not entirely, but Frank Sinatra's Love and Marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage lyrics, don't necessarily apply to the majority of today's service members. A survey that is out, suggests that the allure of marriage and family has been significantly disparaged due to the unique demands of military culture. You know what? It's always been that way. I don't know where anybody got any kind of rosy picture about what it is to be married in the military. One, it means and then there's all kinds of things that now are resident where they weren't years ago. For instance, years ago, when you got married and you and your wife moved to, you know, Camp Pendleton or Jacksonville, North Carolina or 29 Palms, you were there, you know, and, you know, you were there. You deployed. Hopefully she's a good woman. Nobody cheated on anybody, either you overseas or her, and you come back and life goes on. Now, you know, by the wonders of the internet, you know, she's lonely. She can get on the internet. She can talk to old boyfriends that, you know, I'm just lonely. I can't talk to him and just looking for somebody. Well, a lot of times that leads to not very good things. Of the survey's participants, 45% of unmarried men and 52% of unmarried women reported that life as a sailor diminished the likelihood that they would marry. And for personnel with kids, 41% of men, 49% of women reported that years of being forged by the sea decreased their likelihood of forging a family by having or adopting children. Of the female officers who, this is the Navy survey, evidently, who conceived during military service, 76% of those pregnancies were planned, compared to 47% among enlisted. Once transferred after becoming pregnant, 51% of women felt valued by their new command. Only 34%, however, viewed their transfer as a step up in their career trajectory. So, Navy study. Navy's always a little bit of an interesting cat to study. A couple other headlines. I still need to find somebody to come on to talk about Congress's tweaks to the officer promotion system. I don't, you know, can you imagine, because you need somebody's technical expertise and you want to pay them, that you're going to bring them on as a colonel, and they don't have any of the judgment, they don't have any of the indoctrination that a colonel walks around with. Why not then just create a class of civilians that would, I mean, they're not going to be in command, right? So why not create a class of civilians that would work with the military in certain capacities and, you know, but they're going to be maybe the peer of an 06. They're going to be partnered with. And as long as they're good people, I mean, you create a good working environment, all the rest of it. But to put on a uniform, and I don't know. To me, in a culture like the Marine Corps, which has been most resistant to it, I don't see that as a good thing. All right, two more stories real quick, and then I think the chef will get to us. You know, in a story that is just, you know, is makes you just shake your head, and just a sad story. A Marine sentenced to 7 years in the brig for a school of infantry stabbing death. 7 years? Are you kidding me? Like, somebody make sense of this for me. A Marine was sentenced to 7 years in the brig and reduced in rank to private over the stabbing of PFC Ethan Barclay Weber Powell at the School of Infantry at Camp Pendleton. And that happened late last year, early this year. PFC Raymond W. Begay was convicted Wednesday before a military court after pleading guilty to involuntary manslaughter, according to the Orange County Register. Begay was facing murder charges, but the government agreed to withdraw the charge in June for a guilty plea to involuntary manslaughter. Why? Why are we plea bargaining that? To say this was emotionally trying is an understatement, but God gives us the strength to keep forward, moving forward and following Ethan's legacy to live on. Scott Weaver Powell, the father of the slain Marine, posted on his Facebook page following the conviction. The defense argued the Marine's death was a tragic accident, the result of Marines horsing around. But the prosecution attempted to show that Begay had a history of threatening to stab other Marines. Begay will be confined to the brig at Camp Pendleton and will receive a bad conduct discharge following his release from confinement. What does that mean? Does that mean we didn't have enough evidence? I would be curious to know. And one final story. Congress... the defense policy bill has cleared the House and it heads to the Senate. Lawmakers in the Senate are expected to finalize Congress's annual defense authorization bill early next week following the House's passage after what came out of a joint committee between the House and the Senate. The House easily adopted the compromise draft of the annual military policy bill by a vote of 359 to 54. The $716 billion, 1,800-page legislation includes 2.6% pay raise for troops next year, a boost in military end strength of 15,600 service members, more aircraft and ships than the Pentagon requested, and an overhaul of the military's officer promotion system. So that's good news. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef is going to join us, and we'll talk to him. This is about Joe. Happy Friday, Mac. Joe, shut up. I agree. He's not so discreet. He's kind of stupid, actually. Jack, a little bit more discretion. Joe, he lights it off first and asks questions later. So, what can I say? He's a puppy. He just turned one. So, he's just happy he's going to see two. Are you kidding me, Joe? There was a time when, none of us were sure whether Joe would see two or not. Me, particularly. Actually, Joe more than me. Okay? Joe more than me. Because, yeah, he was not following instructions well, and I was not having it. So, anyway, enough about that. We'll take a break. When we come back, the chef's going to join us here on a Friday. Two things. Armoring Radio is an exporter of post-traumatic growth philosophy. Okay? We know because we've lived with it. Okay? You can begin to help us export the product. Okay? It's not a disability. It's shit that happens in life. Trust me, there's people that probably go through, and again, I have to say this, right? My oldest sister is a daily example for me that whenever you think you have it bad, stand fucking by because somebody's got it worse. Whether they cope with the death of their children like my sister does, both of whom shot in the head by their father, whether it be other people that experience the death of children, okay, none of that needs to make you end your life. You're going to have to, again, we're going to be exporters of, you're not going to get over it. So when people tell you there's a purpose in this and all that other bullshit people say, just say, shut up with that stuff, okay? I know you're well-intentioned, but you really don't know what you're talking about, okay? Okay? And you really have to get over this. God has a purpose in this. All that stuff, just say, shut up with that. Shut up. So anyway, yeah, shut up with that. And then go about trying to help people. And the feeling that that provides you goes a long way in the coexisting category. Okay. So again, as Jeremiah said, you'll stop dealing with PTSD. I should leave the D off because I don't believe the D. You'll stop dealing with post-traumatic stress when they slam the lid on your casket. Hopefully they won't slam it when they gently shut it on your ass. And so, yeah, that's the way that goes. So understand that. Learn how to coexist with it. Stay away from alcohol. And live a better life. Use it as a springboard to do better things, to help more people. So, Allmarine Radio. Yeah, there you have it. So, don't touch that dial. More of this program next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.